Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And if you think that this is deja vu or you're in the twilight zone, let me assure you, you are not. We did study this verse a few weeks ago, a few months ago, and as I chose this particular devotional reading, two out of the four sermons are in the Gospel of Mark. So we're going to go back to Mark because when we talk about Advent, we have to talk about John the Baptist. And so we're going to look at that here together. But when we think of Advent and we think of Christmas, one of the things that we think about is getting ready. We have the hanging of the greens. We have the time when we decorate the Christmas tree, right? That's a big deal, or it was for my family. My mom made sure that we were all home and that we all would help putting up the decorations for the Christmas tree. And for the past several years, I have not been able to be home to set up decorations for the Christmas tree. But that was always a big deal. We also do other things to prepare for Christmas. We go Christmas shopping. We go to Christmas parties. We do various things to get ready for Christ's birth. But in the midst of all of those things, do we really slow down and wait for His coming? Though we spend a lot of time preparing for Christmas celebrations, we often neglect what it looks like to prepare our hearts and lives for Christ. It seems maybe an odd thing to us, this idea of preparing for Jesus, but that is exactly the call that John was declaring in the wilderness to the children of Israel. And he was pointing the people away from himself and towards the coming of the Messiah. He urged them to be ready to make straight paths for them because the Messiah would be coming soon. So let's look at this. I know we read it before, but I want to read it again. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' And so John came, baptizing in the desert regions and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, and confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message: 'After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" I've mentioned before that the word gospel in this particular section means good news. The concept that Jesus Christ is going to be born is good news. Amen. It's exciting news. And what we have is we have a picture of this preacher who is coming to preach good news. And he has someone that's going to give him a sneak peek of what he is going to do. if I would say that I have a guilty pleasure, I would have to say that I love to watch movies. I'm a movie buff. I love to watch movies. And when I want to see a new movie, it's usually because I see a good preview of the movie. I'll be watching something and I'll see a preview for the movie and go, hey, I kind of want to see that. That looks good. That looks fun to watch. I need to see that. This is kind of Jesus's preview, if you will. They were preparing him, or preparing the people for coming of the Messiah. The people had been looking or waiting a long time for the promised Messiah. The people had been waiting a long time for the promised Messiah. That's the first point, Pat. Your job is going to be in jeopardy, pal. Cody over here could do a better job. Be with it. Nah, he'll be fine. They were waiting for the promised Messiah. You wait, and you wait, and you wait. How many of you have gone nuts waiting for a package to come in the mail? You've been waiting for a long time, and you're waiting, you're sitting, and you decide, well, I'm going to sit outside and I'm going to watch for the mail truck. And what happens? The time goes by ever so slowly. So you go out and you get your chair and you wait and you wait. Gosh, it must have been an hour, right? Really? It's only 3 minutes? You've got to be kidding me. So you sit there thinking, you hear the sound of a car. Maybe this is the postal office. Oh no, it's not. It's another. And so you wait some more. We continue to wait, and after a while we begin to think, well, maybe they're not going to come. They're not going to come. And should I even wait anymore? The children of Israel had been waiting for the promised Messiah. If you want to know the first time that the people were waiting for the Messiah is in Genesis chapter 3. When after Adam and Eve had sinned, God promised that there was going to be redemption. When he cursed the serpent, he says that you will strike mankind's heel, but he will crush your head. And that was a reference to the coming of the Messiah. And they had been waiting for the Messiah forever. Even through exile, and even after God had not spoken for 400 years. And who was the one that ended up speaking? It wasn't a guy that looked like me. It wasn't a guy in a nice jacket and nice pants and a nice haircut. Thank you, Glee. This man was a wild man. I mean, he had a beard. He looked like the guy from Duck Dynasty. I mean, he was, you know, and he's out there wearing this big camel thing and he's eating locusts. I mean, how many of you like to eat locusts? No, not a staple of the congregation this morning. But this guy's a wild man. He's a weird dude. But yet people are coming all over the world, all over the region to hear him speak. Why? Well, I think that after so many years of waiting, they just needed to be reminded that Jesus was going to actually come. They needed to hope and to anticipate that, you know what, is Jesus Is Jesus really going to come, or the Messiah? Is he going to come?
No.
You know, I think of that today, and in the state that we're in, and you know, we think that Jesus' second coming is just right around the corner. And because everyone's told me, I've grown up in the church. I was told since I was 5 years old that Jesus could be coming back at any moment. And I'm 30. I've waited 25 years. And here's the thought that begins to come into my head. Is Jesus really going to come back?
No.
We don't know. You're right. We have no clue if he's going to come back. But it's that anticipation. But you know what? When you wait so long, it's like, what's the point in this? Should I continue to wait? Should I continue to anticipate? Or should I just stop waiting?
Yeah.
And here are the people. They're coming to hear John the Baptist because here's the thing. Number two, they needed a reordering of lives and precepts needed to take place in order for them to fully embrace who Jesus was. You see, here's the idea. They were looking so much for Jesus that they thought this guy in the desert was Jesus. Many people thought that John the Baptist was the Messiah, and they needed to be made aware that John was just the messenger. It's so easy that they go out and they think he's the Messiah, and yet John is preaching. He says, I am not the Messiah. And what did he say? What was his message? Verse 7, and this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I. He comes out and he says, I'm not it. They preconceived notion about how God was going to show up were being changed. And they hoped for someone who would free them from political oppression. But then John started talking about the baptism by the Holy Spirit. They were looking for a king. They were looking for someone who was going to come and save them politically. And they thought, well, maybe John the Baptist was the ticket. And even when Jesus was born, and when they thought that Jesus could have been the Messiah, they only thought of him as a political person. If you notice that in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was going to be ascended into heaven, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples still thought that the kingdom that he had been talking about, the kingdom that he had been preaching about, was the Jewish kingdom. And he was thinking, well, maybe it's time for our kingdom to come to pass. And in Acts chapter 1, it says that, verse 4, so when they met together, they asked him, which is Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They needed to be reprogrammed even after Jesus died and rose again, because they were thinking of this king, this ruler that was going to come in, and he's going to do that. We've read the book of Revelations, or we read the book of Revelation, and we know that Jesus is going to come back as that conquering king. Right? But it's for a different kind of kingdom. He's going to come back, and he's going to he's going to put on the greatest war you've ever seen. I mean, this is going to be no civil war. This is going to be no revolutionary war. This is going to be no World War I or World War II. This is going to be a blowout. This is going to be a handicap match that is going to end real quick. Because this is what's going to happen. It's going to be the entire world against God. He'll be outnumbered 1,000, 1,000,000 to 1. And he's going to walk in on the scene and just slaughter them all. But it's for a different kingdom. They were saying, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he is focused upon the kingdom-minded because he directs their attention back. Because in verse 7 it says that he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So they were looking for this conquering king, but yet John the Baptist says, no, this guy is going to come and preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now what is that all, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes in and he cleanses your heart and he enables you to live a life that is pleasing to God, a life that is without sin. Not that we won't sin again, but a life that is without sin so that we can be witnesses in this day and age. You shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you will be my witnesses. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they were looking for a conquering king to come to deliver them from their oppression. And I find it interesting to note where John the Baptist was preaching. I think I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. He wasn't preaching at Jerusalem First Church of the Nazarene. He wasn't preaching at the first Jewish synagogue in Jerusalem. He wasn't preaching at the big cathedrals. He wasn't preaching at the big churches. He was preaching in the wilderness. It says he was in the desert region. Now we can take that both literally to mean that he was out in the boonies. You know, he'd be out there, San Carlos, in the middle of nowhere, preaching. And we can take that very literally. But as I've been thinking about this and pondering this, I was thinking about this yesterday in my long drive back to Globe. As I'm looking out over the desert area, beautiful, beautiful stuff. And it came to me that it can also not necessarily be literal, but also symbolic of the wilderness of our lives, where we feel alone. I felt alone in the middle of nowhere. Where we feel that, where is God? In the midst of what I'm going through, in the midst of what I'm suffering, in the midst of what I'm going through. There's a message of hope. Here's John the Baptist preaching out in the middle of nowhere, and he's preaching, get ready, Jesus is coming. And as I'm beginning to think about that, I had a Motel 6 experience. My light was turned on. I had a Motel 6 experience. I understood that what Jesus was doing, what John the Baptist was doing, was he was preaching hope to a people who were in total darkness. They were looking for a Savior. They were praying for a Messiah. And in the midst of that, in their wilderness, in their desert march, here's John the Baptist going, Get ready. He's coming. And he brings hope in the middle of nowhere. And that leads me to my third point this morning, and that is that we also can forget to prepare for the Lord. Amen. If I don't know where I'm going, out there in the desert, I can get lost. I have to prepare. Now, how do you prepare? Well, I prepare with this little handy thing called a GPS, right? You plug in where you're going and it tells me the roads that I'm... But if I didn't have that, if I didn't have a road map that showed me where I went and I just began to head out in a direction, okay? Let me put it to you this way, okay? If I want to go to Payson, do I go this way when I'm going to go to Payson? Will I get to Payson? No, I won't get to Payson at all. I'll get somewhere that's not Payson. I'll hit Stafford or something, but I won't hit Payson. Now if I choose to go this way, will I hit Payson going this way?
No.
Yeah? Yeah, I'll hit Payson. But if I go this way, will I hit Payson?
Yeah.
Yeah? No, I'll hit Tucson or something. Yeah, I won't hit Payson. But how do I know where Payson is at? I got to go to a map. And what is John the Baptist? Here's what John the Baptist is, guys. John the Baptist was the people's map so they wouldn't get lost. He was preparing the people for Jesus' coming because God had not spoken. Remember, he had not spoken a word in 400 years. They didn't know which way to go. They didn't know, should I go this way or should I go that way? They didn't know which way to go. And it's easy to forget to prepare for the Lord. Now, I can tell you that it is easy to miss your mark. I'll tell you because I've done it. I've driven up to Payson a couple of times. And it's easy to go up, but it's hard coming back because if you're not careful, you'll miss the turnoff to go to Globe if you're not careful. And the first time that I did it, I was talking to someone that was sitting next to me. And we're talking, having a good time, and I missed the turnoff. And I go, wow, this is a long 17 miles from the Globe turnoff to Payson. I mean, we've been here for about I went about 10 miles too far. Why? Because I was not prepared for the turnoff. In our areas of wilderness, we can be cynical or doubtful that God is still faithful. Amen? Whatever kind of situation you and I may be going through this morning, we can come to a place in our lives where we go, is God still listening to me? Does God even care what I'm going through? But we need to remember that in the midst of our wilderness, there is still one who is crying, prepare the way for the Lord. Even in the midst of our wilderness wanderings. And as we begin to look at Christmas, as we reflect upon the candles, I think one is... Oh, it's still going. As we begin to reflect upon the coming of Advent... By the way, this is really the first week of Advent and not the second week. But that's okay. Because we'll make it work. But as we're preparing for Christ to come, we'll just prepare a little longer. We need hope. Because we live in a world that is just full of pain and heartache and suffering. And it is so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life that we really have to stop and slow down. And the message does not come from a very normal place, does it? It comes from way out yonder. But it comes from a place where we're at. We often can be counseled or consumed, by our preconceived notions about how God is going to work instead of allowing God to show up in unexpected ways. We always, I always kind of tell us that we never should put God in a box and say, God's going to do this way, and He's going to work that way. Us theologians, sometimes we make that mistake. We put God into this theological equation, and we say that this is the way that He works every single time. And let me tell you something I've learned as an experience, that God doesn't work that way. We need to allow ourselves during this time for God to show up and to work in unexpected ways. And the message is simple. Prepare for Christ's coming. So the question that I have today is, we're preparing not just for Christ's first coming, but we're preparing for Christ's second coming. But the question is still the same. Have you prepared your hearts for Christ's coming? Now, what does that mean, have I prepared my... What do you mean, Pastor, prepare my heart? Well, it's simple. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted Christ fully to save you from your sins? Are you prepared for Christ to come? As we prepare for Christmas, it's a wonderful time to reflect upon our hearts and ask ourselves this question: are we prepared? Because Christ has come. He's here with us now. His Holy Spirit is available to us for infilling and empowerment right now. But are we prepared for His coming again? And so as we prepare to remember His first coming, we must ask ourselves the question, once again, are we prepared for His second coming? The title of my message is, He is Lord. Is He Lord of your life? Is He Lord of all that you have? I love what it says in 2 Chronicles, where He says, the Lord is willing to help those who are fully committed to Him. Those that make Him the Lord of their life. We're going to respond this morning by singing this simple praise chorus. It'll be up on the screen. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But on that day, they're going to do it because they have to. Today, as we prepare, we do it because we want to. So as we sing this song this morning, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, I want to encourage you to make Him the Lord of your life this morning. And if He is the Lord of your life, I just want you to sing this as just a recommitted. To just be reminded today that He is Lord and that He is the Lord of my life. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You that You are coming. We hear the message of John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Make straight paths for God. Clear out all the stuff in our lives that will hinder us from preparing for Christ's coming. Father, are we prepared? I pray now that as we have our time of response, that you would go in and out of each one of our hearts, and that you would prepare their hearts and their minds for your coming. I pray that we would be prepared. For we ask this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.